Well, it's good to see you in our online broadcast this morning in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. And we do trust that the Lord will bless you as you tune in and as you hear something from his precious word. Before we turn to the scriptures, I'd just like to bow in prayer and we will seek the face of the Lord together. So let us bow and let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do rejoice that we can enter into thy presence now in the name of our Saviour. We thank thee for another Sabbath day where we can consider thy word and consider thee as thou hast revealed thyself to us. We thank thee for the supreme revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Saviour and Redeemer of men and women. We thank thee, O Father, we have known his cleansing blood. We have known, O Father, the power of the gospel in our lives. And I pray that we would know that power today as we consider the truth of God. Thy word would be instruction unto us, that it would rebuke us, that it would encourage us, that it would help us in our lives to root out our sin and to look ever to the Saviour by faith. We look ever to thee today, O God. We do pray for the congregation in Londonderry, that thou would put thy hand upon them, even in their own homes this day. We know, O Father, that these are challenging times. We know, O Father, that these are times where our hearts would be prone to be full of fear and doubt. Father, we look ever to thee, the one that is in control, that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We pray, O Father, that thou would have thy way, that thou would glorify thy name even in the midst of all of this, that thou would save precious souls, even today, who would tune in and who would listen to the word of God. May they find the Saviour. May they know life eternal in him who is the offer of life. And I pray, O Father, that today you would just draw near to us, that thou would help us to have minds that are fixed upon thee, that we would not be distracted by the things of home or the things of this world, but our minds would be taken away to the Lord and to all of his goodness and to all of his grace. So I pray now you'll bless your people, bless the preaching of thy word, give liberty, and I pray, O Father, that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ, even by the eye of faith. For his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, if you turn with me this morning for our scripture reading to the book of Romans and the chapter 8. The book of Romans and the chapter 8. We want to read a few verses together from that chapter. Very encouraging verses, especially as we do consider the times that we are in. Romans chapter 8, and we want to begin our reading at the verse number 18. And we'll read down to verse number 30. Of this chapter, Romans chapter 8, and the verses 18 to 30, and there the word of God says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. We know and we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. I just want to highlight two verses to you from this chapter, and that they are the verses 28 and verse 29. There we'll read those together again. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Amen. We know and we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. We'll bow together in prayer again before we come to the preaching of the word of God, and we'll just ask the Lord to bless us as we consider what he has to say. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy blessing and for thy word. We thank thee, O God, that we can read it together, that we can know something of thee. And Lord, we marvel at thy goodness even, and that thou hast blessed us with such a thing as this. And Lord, we pray today that this would be an encouragement to thy people, that it would strengthen them, that it would fill them with hope even in these days. And Father, I just pray now that you would glorify yourself, the name of man would perish, and the name of our Saviour would be high and lifted up. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm sure 2021 has been already to you a year that seems to be so similar to last year, because we begin this year again on lockdown. We were put into lockdown many times last year. We weren't able to come to church. We weren't able to go out of our homes for anything that was to be considered essential. We were put down out of our work. All of these things happened to us last year, and therefore, as we come into 2021, we maybe thought in our hearts we will have a year that is entirely different, and yet it seems already that it's going to be the same old business as it was last year. But I ask you the great question, or a great question, as you listen into the service this morning: have you seen good in 2020? And will you see that there can be good in 2021? And I don't know what the lockdown has meant to you. Maybe it's caused you great mental distress. Maybe you have despaired that you can't get to the house of God again. Maybe you haven't been able to see your family and you miss them greatly. Maybe it's caused you great financial difficulty in the year that's gone ahead. And as you look at the year that is coming in 2021, you say to yourself, these lockdowns are going to maybe cripple me financially. And I say to you again, have you seen any good at all in it whatsoever? Well, I would say to you, as you come to the word of God this morning, as you consider these verses in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29, you can see good. You can see that these things serve a good purpose. You can see that these things ultimately are the plan of God. Whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, that is God's plan. Whatever situation you will be in 2021, that is God's plan. And as we come to these verses in Romans chapter 8, we see something of God's ultimate purpose. We see God's purpose. We see God's plan. We see how the Lord works in the life of his people, and we see that he has a great and a glorious end for them. God has a purpose. We could even say God has an eternal purpose. Now, if I come to you this morning, or if I come to you in 2020 and said to you, child of God, the Lord has a purpose, how would you have reacted to such a statement? If I said to you, child of God, God has a good purpose, and the situation that you're in now is for good. It is for good. And I say to you something that I want you to not miss as you consider the sermon this morning. That is that God's purpose centers on our salvation. It centers on our salvation. And as we look at God's purpose in these verses this morning, as we look at His good purpose, we would say in our hearts that this is good because we can see God's ultimate end. We can see what the Lord is working all things toward. We see God's wonderful purpose. And this can give us great understanding with regard to the circumstances that we are in these times. But as we look at these verses, we see that God's purpose is good news for the times ahead. And that's what I'd like to speak about this morning as we consider these two verses. God's purpose, good news for the times ahead. God's purpose, good news for the times ahead. First thing I want you to see in these verses is that it is a purpose, this good purpose, that is assured for a particular people. It is a purpose assured for a particular people. The purpose of God, I have already said to you, it centers around His people. And we notice the connection that is made here in verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them." And notice the emphasis I'm putting on these words. "To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Notice here the exclusive nature of these words. This good purpose of God is to them that love God and them that are the called according to His purpose. We see here how we are described as the people of God. We are those that love God and we are those that are called. And we could very easily say that we love God because we are called. And this call spoken of is the call of God unto salvation. It is a call that brings a sinner from death unto life. It is a call that brings a person into that great reality of the gospel whereby they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and they trust in Him for their eternal salvation. And this call is spoken of in the New Testament, I think of Romans chapter 1 and the verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 speaks about faith among the nations, that is, those among the nations who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how Paul describes then the recipients of this letter in verse 6. He says, "Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ." And so he's saying here about the people in Rome that they were called of Jesus Christ and therefore they were a people that had faith. So ultimately what he's saying is that they were called and therefore they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand this morning that God in your life, when you were dead in sins, when you had no hope, when you were going that path that was going to lead to your ruin, the Lord intervened by this wonderful call. And He there called you unto salvation and the faith in Jesus Christ. He called you and therefore you began to be put on that path for God's ultimate redemptive purpose in Jesus Christ. This is certainly good news for you this morning. You're on that great redemptive path that God has called you unto. And as a consequence of the revelation of this wonderful grace in your life, as you realize that God has called you from your sin and saved you, you then begin to love Him. This is such a clear and simple thing. We love the Lord because He has called us unto that great redemptive purpose. We love Him as a response to His grace. We love Him and therefore we serve Him and we do His will. And I want you to get this point into your heart, dear believer, this morning. The very fact that you love God is a revelation of His favor towards you. The very fact that you love God is a demonstration of His favor towards you, because in your sinful state, you never loved God. You were incapable of loving God. You would never have chosen God. And yet He chose you. And therefore, as you were saved, you have begun to love Him and His grace and His goodness and in His mercy. You have known His favor. You are a recipient of His favor. Right now, you are in the favor of God. And never ever forget that. So often in our life we can look for God's favor exclusively in our circumstances. Now, sometimes the Lord, of course, will chastise us and our circumstances cannot be good, but sometimes exclusively we look to our circumstances and that's how we think about our relationship with God. We can think those circumstances show that maybe the Lord isn't pleased with us. And yet, that is not the biblical pattern. And that is not what we ought to look to. If we look to our circumstances, especially now, on lockdown in 2020, we would assume that we've never been in the favour of God. And yet, that is not the case. Circumstances do not dictate the favour of God upon his people. And that is especially important to say in light of some modern movements. One is called those who advocate prosperity theology. They claim that financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God for Christians. And so if you have enough faith, you'll have financial prosperity. If you have enough faith, you'll have well-being. You'll never get sick. Your circumstances will always be favourable. You'll be on that straight path and there'll never ever be anything that will come into your life to upset this. And therefore they say that if you are in bad circumstances, this is due to a lack of faith. And this lack of faith is due to sin. And so they will say this to their people. And can you imagine the despair that it causes people? Those that are struggling, those that are in bad health, those that are in circumstances that aren't good. This is causes these people to go into despair. Because no matter what they do, it seems that nothing is changing and they're not rich and they're not physically well. And therefore they lay the fault at their own feet and they say, my faith isn't strong enough. And therefore you imagine also those that are on top of the world, they're doing well, they're healthy, they have money. And yet when these things all go away, all of a sudden they hit rock bottom and they fall greatly. And we must not buy into such things as this, because we understand the Bible tells us that the Christian inevitably will suffer. That is the path of Christ. That is the path of him who loved us, the sinless one, the one that never committed any transgression of the law of God, and yet he was caused to suffer in his lifetime. And dear believer, we will go down that path one way or another. And so I say to you, do not look to circumstances to see where you're standing with God, but really see this truth, the great fact that you love him with a genuine love, shows that you are in his favour. Maybe that's been the problem with you in days gone past. You're looking at what is going on all around you. You're in the midst of a test or a trial, and you've maybe been caused to suffer. And yet you're maybe saying in your heart this morning, these things are happening to me because I've done something wrong. Maybe you're saying in your heart, I have displeased the Lord. And therefore, this is why my life is going the way that it is. And I say to you, dear believer, this morning, that certainly is not the case. I would say to you, always look at the great fact that you love God. Always look to the great fact that he has loved you and called you unto his salvation. And therefore, you are at the center of his favor. See that your circumstances do not dictate this, but your favour with God is dictated by your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, should that not mean that our love should grow for him? Should we not ensure as the people of God that our love not only remains, but that it grows? That we love him more, and that we acknowledge him more in his grace and mercy? The Saviour said in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You see, this is the sum of all of our duty to God, to love him with all of our being. And as this love grows, as we begin to know more of him, well then we'll begin to see his wisdom. We'll begin to see his grace. We'll begin to see his love for us. And we'll begin to then see that circumstances sometimes are just simply his sovereign well. Matthew Henry says that it is our love to God that makes every providence sweet. and therefore profitable. Those that love God make the best of all he does and take all in good part. See, believer, when your love for the Lord grows, when your love for him increases, then you look at all these things that are happening to you and you see that it is his plan. You begin to see that there is a good in everything because this is the will of God. You begin to see that you are the center of his purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you go into circumstances this year that may be difficult, I ask you, will your love for God decrease? No, but rather, dear believer, I pray that it would increase as you look to him as the called one, as the one that loved God, as you see his great favour to you, see that in all things he is working out his purpose. Second thing I want you to see in this text is, with regard to this purpose of God, it is a purpose with a great end. Now in verse 28, we have already seen God's purpose. We have thought about the fact that this brings this theme before us. But I've already said to you that this purpose of God is in Jesus Christ. We see that more specifically in verse 29 of our text. Now read that verse with me. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And so often in life we would love to be able to tell the future. It would be wonderful to know what is round the corner. It would be wonderful to know so many things that are going to come our way. And we maybe would say in our hearts, if I knew that that was coming my way, I could prepare better and I could get ready for that situation. And yet when we come to the Bible, we see so much about the future that may confuse us. But there's one thing we can tell of a certain glorious future. And we see that in verse number 29. It says, "The glorious future, the glorious end of the purpose of God." And we see here this verse is teaching us so much. And ultimately it is teaching us that our great end, and the great end of the purpose of God, is that we would be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in this verse. It speaks about being conformed to the image of the Son. That word conformed simply means to be fashioned like unto. We see an illustration of what it means in Philippians chapter 3 and the verse 21. It says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" And so we see that teaching is clearly in view. This is the end of our salvation, that every single believer in their vile bodies would be transformed to be like the glorious Jesus Christ. This is a glorious transformation. It says to leave behind the vile body, the body that is prone to sorrow and pain and destruction. It is to leave that all behind and to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful reality. And the scriptures here speak about being transformed or conformed into the image of the Son of God. And this here has the thought of the second person of the Trinity. And we know very well that the second person was the one who took upon himself human flesh. And he glorified our humanity. And therefore the Bible says he is the firstborn among many brethren. That simply means that Jesus Christ in his resurrection was resurrected first. And therefore there will be a resurrection that will happen as a consequence. The resurrection of the body of Christ, of every believer. And that wonderful transformation that will happen where we shall leave these vile bodies and be transformed into his very image. We understand here this morning that this here is a reality for every single believer. And this here is born out of God's eternal purpose. It was his purpose before the world began. We see when it speaks about in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow." That their word "foreknow" can simply mean to forelove. We could think about it as a term where it speaks about the great fact that God loved us eternally, or shed his goodness upon us and his affection upon us eternally. And every time you see that there word no in the New Testament, it has this thought. It's the thought of setting delight upon, an affection or a love upon. So it's saying that God did foreknow us. And therefore this here is illustrated very clearly. The Lord in eternity set his love and his delight upon us. What a wonderful truth. You know, this here love of God towards us, this delight that he has towards us, is not born out of anything that we have done. It's not born out of anything that we did to make the Lord love us. But the Lord loved us because he loved us. And as he loved us then, the Bible here says in verse 29 that he predestinated us. That is, he purposed to save us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has had this wonderful eternal plan for you, dear believer. Despite the fact that you sinned against him, that he would transform you. And that you would be like the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful destiny that you have according to God's wonderful purpose. Nothing in this life will take you off that path. The coronavirus, all the circumstances of our land and our nation and our world at this time will take you away from that glorious destiny. Sickness will not take you away from it. Sorrows, trials, nothing will take you away from it, even death itself, because death will only lead you into a greater realm of experience. It will take you to a place where you will wait for that day and even greater expectation as you are with the Lord. Nothing will take you away from this destiny. I say to you in these days where there's so much to worry you, set your eyes upon this wonderful truth. Get this into your view every single day of your life. That God eternally has loved you, has determined to save you, and has put you on a path to a wonderful, glorious destiny. This is his purpose, ultimately, for your life. What a wonderful thing that is. And when you meditate upon that there reality every single day, what begins to happen, dear believer? Well, your heart begins to be full of joy, it begins to be full of hope, it begins to be full of expectation. You will have in your heart a great yearning for the appearance of Jesus Christ. Think of Titus 2 verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. I wonder today, are you looking for that blessed hope? Maybe you're living so much in this world and you're living so much for the now. You're living so much for the experience of this life. You've taken your eyes off it and you're not contemplating the future whatsoever. And is any wonder then you're sitting this morning perhaps in hopelessness? Is any wonder you're despairing as you look all around you? You've taken your eyes off the great purpose of God in this life to make you like Jesus Christ at the end of time. I say, believer, get your eyes upon it. Fill your heart with hope. And be able to say, no matter what comes to pass in this world, I have a glorious destiny in Jesus Christ. Here is a question I would ask you then, as a consequence of that. Are you like Jesus Christ in your life now? Last year, this year, are you more like the Savior as time goes on? Because that is the Lord's will for your life as far as this is concerned. Yes, he wants you to be like the Lord Jesus Christ fully and perfectly in the future, but his will for your life now is to be like Christ in this world. And I say to you then, see to it that you're more like him. See to it that that process is going on in your life where you're like him and you're being transformed and you're going towards that ultimate transformation in the future. Determine in your heart that this will happen more and more, that you will be like the Savior. How can you expect to be like him in the future if you're not like him now in this world? And I say to you then, dear believer, understand this. As every second passes by, As every year goes on and on and on, you're going closer and closer and closer to that glorious reality that you will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see, lastly, in these verses about God's purpose, it is a purpose advanced in all providences. It is a purpose advanced in all providences. I think it is fair to say that all that comes into our life is due to the providence of God. This means the Lord directs, he governs, he upholds all things in this world. And everything that happens to you then happens because of the hand of God in your life. We think of Psalm 135 verse 6. It says, whatsoever the Lord please, that did he in heaven and in earth and the seas and all deep places. So the truth comes before us that everything that happens is due to the Lord in heaven and in earth. You see, God has not only ordained that you will come to your glorious destination in Jesus Christ, but the Lord has also ordained the path that you will take, how you will reach that destination. You're going towards it, but it is true to say that every single believer goes on that path differently. They have different experiences. They have unique experiences in their lives. And I know you describe your life certainly as having ups and downs. You remember fondly the ups. But when it comes to the downs, you maybe think of times of great distress and great sorrow. And even the downs, as we want to put it that way, even the downs are due to the hand of God. In fact, I would take it a step further and say that even the worst times in your life were for God's good purpose. They were for good. The trials, the temptations, the sufferings, all were good for God's great and wonderful purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. You notice what Paul is saying here. He's saying all things work together for good, and he is including suffering here. Because he has taken up that theme earlier in Romans chapter 8, and we read the verse earlier together in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, Paul here has taken up this theme of suffering, and then he's moving down, and he's saying that all things work together for good. Notice what he's saying then, get that into your heart. And he's saying not only all things, he says we know that all things work together for good. So Paul is saying here that he has a great assurance that all things are working towards good. What a wonderful thing it is to have such an assurance. What a wonderful thing it is to be assured that the Lord is working out his good purpose even in the midst of my greatest suffering. This leaves no room for doubting God. Believer, I want you to have that assurance this year. I want you to be assured that even in the lowest times of your life, the Lord is working it for good. Now, how can I say that? Well, I can say because the Lord and his grace is even able to bring good out of the worst of those situations that come in to our lives. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord commits any evil. Men and women are the source of evil in this world. They are the source of suffering in this world due to their sin. But I'm saying to you that even in the midst of the most evil situation, the Lord is able to bring good out of it. And not only that, the Lord is able to even cause it to advance towards his purpose in Jesus Christ. Think of Joseph and Genesis 50 verse 20, those words that are wonderful. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. We know the story of Joseph well. His brothers betrayed him, and he was sold into slavery. And yet Joseph says, that was evil, and yet God meant it unto good. Despite the evil that was happening to him by his brothers, it was God's purpose ultimately to bring Joseph to Egypt to save his people. You see, the Lord is able to then even work in the most evil of circumstances, even amongst the most evil actions of men and women. I think Jesus Christ is the greatest example of this. In Acts 2 verse 23, it speaks of him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What wonderful words. These verses speak about the great truth that Jesus Christ was crucified and slain, and that was done for his people. And yet the Lord here charges it to those who were determined to crucify him. He says, ye are the ones that crucified the Savior. Ye are the ones that were bloodthirsty, and ye are the ones that are guilty here. And they were not excused for the great sin that they did against the Lord of glory. What they did was unjust. What they did was evil. And yet in the midst of the evil of men and women, God brought about his wonderful purpose. And friend, I say to you, in the midst of even so great distress, the Lord can bring good. You think of the great truth that you're sitting in your home now due to this pandemic. Can't get to church, and there are these online broadcasts for your benefit. I say to you, isn't it true that the Lord has saved souls through the online broadcasts? Do we not see then the Lord working his good purpose out even in that? The Lord is able to take something that is not good and that distresses us much, and he's able to bring good out of it. He's able to advance his purpose. Now let me ask you, maybe you have suffered this year. Maybe it was financial difficulty, and yet you've come and you've asked and you've wondered what is happening, and isn't maybe not the case that the Lord is drawing you closer to himself? The Lord wants you to look more to him, to rely more on him, to provide your needs and to provide your necessities. Maybe the Lord wants you to give him more thanks for all the things that you have in your life. He wants you to be grateful for everything that he has put before you. Maybe the Lord has brought sorrow into your home this year, and yet in the sorrow, what did you do? You turned to him. You've never felt as close to him. You've never felt his grace more in your life, and you've seen such a change through it all. Is that not good? Maybe death has made the Lord make you think of the great fact that you're not guaranteed another day. He wants you then to be more zealous. He wants you then to number your days that you ensure you're giving your life for him. Maybe in the midst of suffering, the Lord just wants to test your patience. To test your perseverance, we could put it that way. See if you'll stay faithful to him and walk in his ways. Maybe you get into a sinful routine, and the Lord has kept you in your home to keep you away from that evil that you were turning to in your life. And the Lord has made that great separation. He's given you a time of contemplation where you say, I see my sin. And you see the Lord then in the lockdown has brought good out of it for you. You've seen the good hand of God outworking his purpose, making you more like Christ, drawing you to him, and making you look even more to that glorious day of transformation. Isn't it wonderful to know that even in the days ahead, oh, should great evil befall us, the Lord is working even in that to bring about his good purpose to make us more like Jesus Christ. I think that is the secret of Paul's life. I think of what he says in Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul was saying this in prison. He's saying, I'm in prison, and yet no matter what state I am content. Paul was content. We could go as far as to say that Paul was joyous. Why? Because Paul knew that God had a purpose. And Paul knew that God was working out even his present experience for good. The Lord had his hand in all of this. I ask you then, if you were to go into circumstances this year that will cause you much trouble, will you be one that says, I know God has a plan. I know God has a purpose. I don't want you to be in a place where you're doubting. where you're asking questions, where you're looking to the Lord and you're doubting what he is doing is right. No, I want you to look and say to him, Lord, I know you have a good purpose. I know you have a plan. And Lord, I pray you'll advance it, even in the midst of my great trials and difficulties. What a wonderful thing for the times ahead, dear believer. The times ahead, we know that God has his purpose in Jesus Christ. May we look to him always then. May we glorify his name and say, Lord, thou art in control. Thou art working all things to that glorious end. And your purpose is good. I pray that will be our cry in the days to come. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. And we'll ask the Lord now to bless us as we part one from the other. I do trust that this has been an encouragement to you, and that the Lord will use it in your life in order that you may walk with him. But let us bow in prayer and we'll seek him around the throne of grace. Our Father and our God in heaven, we rejoice in thy goodness and in thy mercy to us, and that thou hast called us into union with thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that thou hast revealed thy great purpose to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that thou hast revealed then that all things are working towards that glorious end. I pray in these days, O God, fix your eyes upon our Saviour, the one that is at thy right hand, the one, O Father, that is interceding on our behalf, and the one that is coming again to redeem his people from all their vileness, from all their corruption, to take them away from all their sorrow, to wipe away every tear from their eye. I pray, O God, that thou would fill our hearts in this day with that glorious hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.